These two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, and I have nothing to do with them. Devarshi Narada is my dear and affectionate devotee, and therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. Rupate Sivanga Devote.
Although these two young men
are the sons of the very rich Kuvera,
I have nothing to do with them.
Devarshi Narada.
Devarshi Narada
is my very dear.
An affectionate devotee.
And therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do so
for their deliverance.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, charaded out by myself, and answers given by yourselves. Okay? Are you ready? Watch. You know the answer? Say it loud. Nala Kuvera and Manigrive actually had
nothing to do with devotional
service or
seeing
the Supreme Personality of God
face to face.
Four. This is not an ordinary opportunity. I'm going to get drunk. It is not that because one is very
rich.
Or
Intelligent.
Learned. Or was
Born
in an aristocratic family, one will be able to
see
the Supreme Personality of Godhead
face to face.
This is impossible.
But
in this
trunk.
But in this case, because Narada Muni desired that Nala Kuvera and Manigriva see Vasudeva
face to face.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to fulfill the
words
of his very dear devotee,
Narada Muni.
If one seeks the favor of a devotee instead of directly asking favors from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is very easily successful. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has there recommended Vaishnava Thakur Tomara Kukura Bulia Janahamuri Krishna Setamara Krishna Dite Bhara. One should
love.
One should desire to become like a dog in strictly following a devotee.
Krishna
is in the hand of a
devotee.
Adurabham atma bhakto. Thus, without the favor of a
devotee,
one
Thank you. Drink?
Juice.
Cannot! Thus, without the favor of a devotee, one cannot directly approach
Krishna.
What?
What?
Speak of.
Ring? No.
Engagement.
In his service. Narottam Das Thakur, therefore,
sings
Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payichi Kiva. Unless one be comes a
servant
of a pure
devotee,
one
cannot be delivered from the material condition of
life.
In our Gaudiya Vaishnava society, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, our first business is to seek
shelter
of a bona fide spiritual master. Adau Guruvashtaya. Period. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the great question. Okay, there are ways to keep people pricky. This is one way. Now, I'll read the verse again. Although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, and I have nothing to do with them, Devarshi Narada is my dear and affectionate devotee, and therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. Okay, Hare Krishna. So this is a very revealing shloka, a verse about God saying, my devotee wants me to do something, I'm at his service. Let's think of some examples. Krishna likes to do devotional service. Krishna decided, I will come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do service. Another example, Krishna likes to do service. He's known as Bharata Sarathi. That means he drives the chariot of Arjuna. If you know the story of Karna, Karna was raised by a chariot driver. Atirat was his name. And that the status socially was not as high as the person who was driving the chariot or the fighter. But it was a humble position. So Krishna agreed to play the humble position to be the chariot driver. It's kind of like, has anybody ever taken a cab anywhere? Anybody here ever been to New York City to experience what it's like to get a cab in Manhattan? Okay. So then, you know, where to? You know, you're in the back seat. Where to? It's almost like saying, I'm your servant. Where do you want me to bring you? Okay? It's like that. Of course, he's getting paid, but he'll do whatever, you know, the customer wants, the client wants, right? So Krishna is doing the same thing. Where would you like me to go? And Arjuna was very specific. I want to go between the two armies. I actually want to see who's there on the other side. I know why I have, but I want to just get a little closer. I want to see. And seeing is believing. Seeing means much is revealed then. And Arjuna had a good idea, who were not his allies, but still he wanted to see. So for that, he asked Krishna, please, I'd like to go there now. And Krishna didn't argue, hey, listen, let's do Role switching here, come on. I'm God. No, how dare you? No. Krishna was pleased to serve. Pleased. We can take so many other examples where Krishna takes a subservient role. Mother Yashoda was having a very hard time chastising her son. And Krishna agreed to take the humble position. Oh, look at, she's sweating to pieces. Her hair is getting undone. Even her sari is getting loose. And I'm just making her work so hard. I just can't bear this anymore. I can't stand it anymore. So I'll agree to be tied up by her, my mother, my mom. And so they get the subservient role. There are many, many other examples of this. At the Rajasuya Yajna, Krishna could be king. Why couldn't he be? He's God, as Rama was king. But Krishna somehow said, I want my devotee to be the king. I want Yudhishthira to be the Yuvaraj. You know? And when it comes to the actual ceremony to acknowledge his, you know, supreme position amongst all Maharajas, all kings, I will greet everyone at the door. I will take care of their footwear and their feet. I will bathe the altar's feet. Okay. That's pretty remarkable. God. Okay, Krishna in the form of Chaitanya. He cleansed the temple. Now, once in a while, and in my travels, now one thing I'll tell you, say something, always, I can't stand when I go to a temple and the shoes are everywhere. And like outside the temple, you can be casual, kick one shoe here, kick one there. And when you go there, if you take photographs of our temples, outside our temples, it's a total embarrassment. And it's not as if, you know, like tea leaves when they fall, you're supposed to read something out of it. Like suddenly you're supposed to see, what can I read out of the lady? The shoes have been kicked off. Something prophetic, something mystical here. Because after all, they're dust catchers of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. So I go and I... it's kind of cute. So, you know, so I just lay them out, I strain them out, you know. And then people say, Maharaj, you're not supposed to do that. So, why not? And sometimes, you know, it's devotional service. It's the, you know, it is... our business is devotional service. We do service for people, for the public, not just devotees. I don't just serve devotees. I serve the public. Everyone's a devotee after all. Okay, so the goodness to you. You are a gentleman. Okay. So, you know, once in a while I pick up a broom and somebody goes, Maharaj, let me take that and show you that. Why not? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it, so I can do it. Okay. What's wrong with cleaning? What's wrong with serving? You know, sometimes people get the idea, you're a Maharaj. I mean, now you should have the best broom, you should have the best tali, you should have the best prasadam, and you know, actually it's supposed to be the other way around. You're supposed to take the humble position. I mentioned the other day, oh, you're going to walk across Canada. Oh, you should have a Winnipeg. Oh, you should have this. And no, I had something else in mind. So the idea is Krishna likes to take a humble position. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved, he relished cleaning. Yeah, and you feel so good after cleaning. And you feel so bad when you leave and just put everything to everyone else. If you don't feel bad, there's something wrong. If you don't feel guilt, there's definitely something wrong in your heart. So I like, there's a section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita where there's a little bit of a description of humility, a definition. And Srila Prabhupada explains, within humility, we have guilt. Guilt is a component of humility. And everybody knows that humility is the best thing to have. Because on the basis of humility, you can build, you can make, have success. You want to start a business, even a business, just a regular business. You have to start humble. You can't come into an established business and say, I've got so many degrees, and I know how to fix a paper. You can't come with an ego. There's this one businessman in Toronto, he died last year, but he said, oh, we only hire high school students. He said, why? Because university students, they come and they think they know it all. So it's humility that wins hearts. So what does speaking of spiritual life? Humility is the key to success in your spiritual progress. And within humility, you feel guilty about what all things you've done. We've all done things, but I mean, I have my second initiation. Prabhupada said this at the second initiation, you were not. 1974, he said, think about what you were doing before. Before you became, you know, before we became, you know. Before we became one of those. What were you doing before? Think about it. What were you doing? Was it a little bit of this? Was it a little bit of hey ladies? You know, I mean, maybe all of it. Maybe all of it. And you look back and says, oh my God, was I ever an idiot? Was I ever horrible to my parents? Was I ever, you know, but I, you know, I can remember one time I went to a fair. Whenever they have the rides, and I had a girlfriend with me. We drove together to the fair. And you know, and I couldn't handle it. So up in the air, you know, it was one of those rides, heavy. Like that, you know. And my dinner went in the air. Can you imagine how embarrassing that was with her? Very embarrassing. And that's before I became a sannyasi, by the way. Before I became a devotee, before I knew about devotional service. So, you know, there's lots of embarrassing things that you go back to, and our mind tends to revert back. Mind says, come down. It's so nice, isn't it? And you know, you have to analyze very carefully. Well, compared to what I'm doing, it wasn't very nice after all, Maya. It wasn't. Oh, come on. You had a good time. So, not really. Not compared to what I have done. So chill, Maya. Just go. Leave me alone. You know, so, but it's, in one sense, it's good you have some guilt there. You know, and guilt might grit you to the point where you feel terribly bad and it hits low self-esteem. We're not talking about that. Arjuna also felt very bad about his position. But it didn't get to the point where he wanted to commit suicide, to find a noose or a knife or a razor blade. It didn't get to that level. He remained hopeful. After all, Krishna was there. And he said, Krishna, you know, I'm weak now. And but you're strong. Shishastriyam Shadiman Tom Prakanam. Because you're strong and I'm weak, therefore I surrender to you. I become your servant. I've lost my composure due to my sort of weakness. I'm asking you to tell me simply what is best for me. So we do things that bring us down to our knees. We do it to ourselves. You can't blame. You can't say, the devil made me do it. Stop blaming. No, you're the one that makes decisions about yourself. So you just say, you have to look back sometimes. That's what Prabhupada said at that talk when I was initiated. And why? So you can reflect, make comparison, comparative, to be a little bit analytical. We should not carry on in devotional life like a zombie, Sri Guru Charatmanatma Kevalabhakti. You know, you've got to work at some feeling inside. You've got to work at it when you chant Hare Krishna. Everybody knows one of the things can be mechanical about chanting Hare Krishna. We do it all the time, we do it every day. But somehow or other, you've got to conjure up the feeling. Feeling is important. You know, Krishna's a feel-good God. I remember James Brown said, I feel good. No, but it's not that kind of feel. It's like feel inside, outside, in, external, internal. When James, Jimmy Baby, was singing that, it was all about external. But it's internal and external. That's what we want. A good feeling inside. And that comes from taking a humble position. The two sons of Kaveras, Kavera, the treasure of Devatas, were in the enjoying spirit. They were, let's say, you know, really into it. Not enjoying it to the highest degree. They picked some ladies and they were having fun with water sports. And it was all very skin-oriented. And Narada came by, and the ladies, of course, you know, opposite genders, and they recognized Narada's value, his worth. So they went away ashamed. But the two men were not ashamed, having no clothes and being drunk. They had no shame. And so Narada cursed them. But Narada's curse turned into a benediction at the end. You know, maybe some of us are wondering, I wish that happened to me. Why didn't Narada come into my life when I needed him the most? Well, you know, that doesn't have to be Narada. It was somebody else. It was some devotee that put the bait out there and you know, fished you in and reeled you in. And I know sometimes people just say, hey, we caught a big one. I remember the old days, hey, this guy's really good. This guy's really qualified. He'll make a great device. He's a natural. And I was going like that. So somebody reeled you in. It happens like that. What is it? How is it? Just as cute as the last one. Let's see, Kona Bhagyavanji, Guru Krishna Prasadevai, Bhakti Lakshmij. Someone was kind to you. Someone, a representative of the Supreme King. It wasn't Narada, but somebody was kind to you. And they offered you a magazine, or they told you about Krishna. Do you ever think about that person who did that for you? Do you remember who did it for you? Are you grateful? You let him not or her not? Yes. How about you? Do you remember who brought you? Are you one of those lucky dogs that are second generation? No, somebody brought you. Do you ever thank that person? Gratitude. Right. Very, very integral part of a devotee's life. So I thought it was really significant yesterday when we were walking. And was it an Arjuna tree film?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow.
That ever hit home.
You know, the two men were cursed as trees, Yama Arjuna trees. Same kind.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the same thing.
And I remember in an article in the Toronto Star, which is the biggest circulated newspaper in all of Canada. And they quoted one of our ladies with the picture of her with a big earring here. And in those days it was like we were way ahead of our time. We're at the cutting edge, you know. Later on everyone caught on to what he was singing. You know. And all this stuff and all kinds of parts, you know, things from places we don't mention. And any so she was quoting that very lusty and you like to expose yourself, you will take birth as a tree in the next life. So the Jewish people found that very interesting. Maybe fanatic or whatever. But they just found it interesting. It's a whole piece of our philosophy. So we had, here we are reading this pastime about the two men that took birth as trees. And it's funny, near our Montreal temple where I visit, there's one of our ladies went, look at Maharaj, that must have been a person who was lusty, who took birth as a tree. And yeah, I looked at him, just I looked like somebody like a model. The way you're shaped, I said, you're absolutely right. So the fact that the tree came down at the lotus feet of the devotees. Wow. They're right about that. So that's what happens. You like to expose yourself, then trees have a better chance. They do a better job. They stand there and they withstand the cold, the heat, the wind, the rain, the snow, if you have it. Maybe I've seen snow here before. Only in the movies, right? At Christmas time. White Christmas. So, trees is what you may become. And it's a humbling position, for sure. The trees, all trees eventually come down. All egos come down. Egos fly high. So do eagles. Eagles fly very high, above the clouds, I understand. Most birds don't go very high. Eagles do, that's what I understand. And so egos fly higher. Now the thing is about eagles, they land. But some egos never land. You ever notice that? I heard there was one person I was talking to on the telephone. They said, I don't want to brag, but blah, 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 blah. It's all about me. I didn't want to cry at all. You almost exposed yourself. It's like Srila Prabhupada, that saying, there's a thief who comes, a burglar comes into your home. And you know, it's dark, and he's creaking on the floor. And somebody, who is it? So, I'm not a thief. So, you know, the person's exposed. I don't want to cry at all. I'm just really the hottest thing that ever took birth in this world. So this is a lesson about humility. And it does happen that if you're born into, let's say, wealth, oftentimes you get very complacent and proud, and because you didn't have to work for anything. My dad, I mean, he was so good to us. He never handed things to us. He always just wants something, he wants something in life and we work for. He never gave us an allowance. Just gave us what we needed. That's the way he managed us. There were six of us in a place. And you know, he was a great devotee in so many respects. I was just thinking about it just yesterday. You know, he didn't give us the wealth which he had at his disposal. He has his new work. So we did. And we cherished it, we valued what we got. When things come really easy to you, at you, then you tend to be just, lazy, lethargic. Tamagun sets in. So it's understandable what happened to Nalakumara and Manigiri, the two sons of Kubera. They were rich, so they didn't have to work for anything. They just ended up, hey, let's have some fun. So that's dangerous, dangerous position. The generation after the war generation. They're spoiled. Dr. Spock. There was a person who was like in North America. He was like the guru for child raising. And he would always put out articles and how to deal with your children. I mean, we're talking about the age after the war.